Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I hope some of you got to see some of the pictures last night of us in our early years. There was one picture in particular that I wish probably wasn't up there, but it was a picture of actually Sid and Jane holding Amy, who is little, and Nancy and I holding Jennifer, who was little. And unfortunately, I was wearing a leisure suit. My mother gave me a leisure suit, and it was gray, and I was wearing a pink and gray silk shirt. I love my mother, and I think I wore that in that picture and maybe one other time. And I think my mother probably went to her grave wondering why I didn't wear that more. But my hair was probably the longest it had ever been. It was down low, and Sydney's hair was long. And that picture was really reflective of that time and those years. And I'm so glad now that I'm dressed normally. And I couldn't get into that leisure suit anyway, so I'm glad I'm not wearing it today. I want to ask this question of you today. How many here this morning were here when I first started as pastor on August 14th, 1977? Raise your hand if you were here. I want you to look around. We still have a few left. Sally, your hand. Sally is our oldest person here, and Sally was here. And Sally is going to be 93 here in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So it's wonderful to have Sally with us today, and she was with us last night. I want you to raise your hand if you were not even born in 1977. Please raise your hand. Wow. Look around. The question many have asked since I have announced my retirement is, how do you feel about it? And I can honestly tell you, I've had mixed feelings. I'm more nervous today than I ever was when I came to this church. And that's hard to believe, that I'm nervous. But when I just wanted this message to be really special, and I just, pray, that it is. But overall, I want to say this, that I'm not really sad. I'm going to miss doing what God called me to do in this life. But as many people around say, a pastor never really retires, I realize that is so true. So to a degree, this is true in time, but I'm going to have a different role in this church. And I am going to be the associate pastor under Brandon's leadership. And that means I'll be working about 8 to 10 hours a week, focusing my ministry on senior adults of our church. Now, if the seniors get too wild and unruly, I will have Richard take them, and I will take the youth. So, Richard, prepare. It's a wild bunch, I'll tell you. I believe my first priority other than being with the seniors, is to love, support, pray for, and cheer on Brandon and Teresa's leadership. They will be leading a wonderful group of leaders in our church who are dedicated and committed to fulfill the Great Commission, and that is to make disciples, to baptize, and to take the gospel message throughout the world. And Brandon and Teresa have made it known that their efforts are going to be a team effort. Both of these people are talented and very gifted in many different areas. And so we are privileged to have this talent and giftedness as leading our church. I will be available to fill in the pulpit when Brandon's gone, and I might fill in occasionally at churches around. Nancy and I plan to maybe visit a couple churches, but I want you to know that Nancy's going to continue to teach her Sunday school class. Nancy's been teaching the junior Sunday school class of this church for over 45 years. And many of you have gone through that class, and what a joy it is to see many of you here as adults and leaders that went through Nancy's Sunday school class. Calvary is our home, and we love the fact that Brandon is our pastor. The best thing about this transition is how God orchestrated it. It was all about God, the whole process. It began back in 2017 when Brandon, Teresa, the boys came back to us. Brandon was a worship pastor at a local church. And during that time, Brandon and Teresa felt led to head back. And at the time, we had Josh Polk with us. We had two associates, if you remember. And Josh and Sabrina and their kids moved to Hatteras, where Sabrina was from back a few years ago. And I think it was in 2021 that God showed us a three-phase transition. Brandon and I talked about this. We prayed about it more than we talked about it. The first year that Brandon would shadow me, the second year that Brandon and I would kind of split 50-50, and this past year that Brandon would take on more responsibility here at Calvary. So here we are. The one thing that as I leave as pastor that makes me the happiest is that God was responsible for it all. God put this plan into action. He knew about it beforehand. I am so glad that Brandon is the one who God called here as pastor. And I'll tell you this, we didn't have to call someone from the outside to come here and get to know you for a few years before they could really get to know you. Brandon knows you and he loves you. And the thing is, this book right here is called Next, Pastoral Succession That Works. And I began reading this book right after I got it. And I want to read to you a quote from this book. Andrew, I want you to know that Elmer Towns did a review on this. Elmer Towns is a 90-year-old pastor at Thomas Road Church up at Liberty University. And he's written over 170 books. And I think I have half of them. He's 90 years old and still teaches Sunday school. He was the co-founder of Liberty University. He wrote a review on this book. And listen to what the authors say here. When you're ready to begin naming specific potential successors as candidates, the best starting place is usually to look at family members, which are more formally defined as internal candidates. This is especially helpful when the church is healthy, growing, and wanting to continue its current DNA, mission, and path forward. Internal candidates aren't just those who you can promote from within your congregation, but also people who have had some kind of direct relationship with your congregation. Advantages of internal candidates are that you both already have a sense that the chemistry is a good fit. They already understand a bit about your church's DNA and your community. They have already developed some degree of trust and respect among the congregation. They know the family and the systems that run it, and their transplanting into the body will have a much higher probability of being a good match. I could have written that. I could have written that because that's exactly what's happened here. I don't know of many churches in our denomination or many churches anywhere that have a pastor raise up and stay at that church. That is amazing to me, and I'm just so thankful for that. And I want you to know that this transition time is so important because it's important because it's in the Bible. And it's interesting that the only time I think that's actually referred to retirement is when the Levites in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers were asked to retire at age 50. And the reason why, because they took care of all the aspects of the tabernacle and the temple eventually. And so they had to be in good condition to move things around when it was the tabernacle. And they had to be physically fit, so they had to retire at 50 and work out and then do their thing and carrying things around about the tabernacle. I thought that was kind of interesting. But it also talks here in Numbers 28. This is the succession of Joshua to succeed Moses. And in Numbers 27, verse 15 through 17, it says this. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd." How befitting. How befitting that is. You see, it's very important for us to understand that God prepared Joshua years before Moses died. And I look back at the 51 plus years that I've been in the ministry, 46 of them here at Calvary, and what do I see? Everything from laughter to crying, from failure to success, from stagnancy to growth, and from questions to answers, and everything in between. I have witnessed a faithful and loving God taking a young man with no aspirations for ministry and calling me and making me a pastor for over 51 years. He saw everything about me that was full of flaws, sin, and pride, and I was really raw material, very raw material. And he molded me and he shaped me. And I realized how God took a sinner like me back in 1967, who thought he was a Christian, and put me in the position to walk around with guys who loved me unconditionally, who realized I wasn't a Christian, and who brought me to the scriptures, who showed me Jesus in their lives, who worked with me through the Bible and just really took interest in me and helped me to see that I needed a Savior. I just want to thank God in my life that I met those guys. A number of them are already dead, but I'm thankful that those guys showed me Jesus. I repented in my life of my sin and went to the church, the Aurora Avenue Christian Church, and gave my life to Christ in September of 1968. God forgave me, and he changed me, and he called me into a greater field I could ever be in, and that is the ministry, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to shepherd his people. I was not like Isaiah. Isaiah said in chapter 6, when the Lord was calling him, he said, here I am, send me. I was saying, here I am, send somebody else. Because I fought that, and I've told you that. I fought my calling. I was like Moses. Lord, I can't speak. I can't do this, I can't do that. And finally God said, you're called. I'll take care of all this. And he did. He did. He blessed me with the best wife of 51 plus years. Best wife anybody could have, who knows me and still loves me unconditionally. She probably felt like Ruth Graham when she said, divorce, no, murder, yes. Yeah. He blessed me with two beautiful daughters who have wonderful husbands who love Jesus, and then our eight grandchildren who are all here today. I am so thankful. He has led us to two churches who have loved us, and you who have watched over us for the past 46 years. And to tell folks, I have pastored 51 years, they're amazed. But when I tell them in one place for 46 years, they're really amazed. God has granted me good health through these years. And how I praise him, how he has strengthened me when I have been so weak. He has lifted me up when there has been failure. He has and gives me hope when things are so challenging. And he showed me a way and carried me all that way and showed me that I had no thought that I could stay with one thing for 51 years. And I have. And I give God the glory for that. So here are my thoughts for you as a church and for Brandon together. First of all, trust God and preach the word and teach the word. I'm going to ask the fellows to put up Psalm 56 for you to read, or you can pull out your Bibles and follow along with me. I'm reading from the New American Standard. This is the Bible I started out with, and not that the NIV or the ESV are any less, but this is the Bible I kind of started out with. Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. For they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long, they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth in anger, put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Trusting in God and loving his word. I'd like to read to you from Psalm, or from Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Some of you folks' favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lead on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And then for Brandon and all those that teach and will teach in our church, these words from 2 Timothy, and I'd like to read those words to you. starting with chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's for all, for Brandon, for Richard, for Dusty, and all of you who teach. People want their ears tickled these days, and we're going to preach the word and teach the word. The second thing that I want to leave with you as a church and with Brandon is to love God and to love others. And my scripture comes from 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. I am thankful for the love of this church. This church to me demonstrates love. And here in the days ahead, as we see more challenges come before us in this world, I want people to see the love of God in each one of you and in our pastor. I know that that's what's going to change people's lives, if they see that the love of God is in you and in towards others as well. The third thing I want you to do is to equip the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 18. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. My friends, that is what our church is about right now. We're equipping the saints. We're growing in the Word. We're discussing the Word in great depth. We've got children. We are teaching them, and we are helping them to see the love of Christ in this world despite everything else they see. And the one thing I just cannot preach enough to you is that this happens in your home. We as a church, we're privileged to have all these children here. But you as parents and grandparents, we have the great privilege of teaching our kids Jesus Christ in this godless society of ours. And I am thankful that we can be beacons of light to our kids and to kids around us and to people around us. And it's because we have deliberately and intentionally built people up and helped them to understand the priority of Jesus in this society, equipping the saints. Fourthly, never forget our families. Never forget our families. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. Joshua 24, 14 through 16. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We can never, ever put anything above the importance of discipling our families, showing our families who Jesus is. Men discipling their wives, parents, moms and dads discipling their children. I've always felt, I remember reading a book early on in my ministry, that the church, the home is a mini church. And how true that is. How true that is. And then lastly, we need to go against Satan. Dusty did something on Wednesday night that I deeply appreciated, and not only me, but Brandon and all of us that were there. During this time, we have seen tremendous growth in our church. We have seen the blessings of God fall upon this church. And I want you to know that Satan is as angry as can be. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy Brandon. I've used this illustration before. If the family is the target of Satan in this day and time, then the pastor and his family are the bullseye. Brandon, I say that with all sincerity. First Peter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. All of you in this church, I just want you to know that we are very, very conscientious about what the devil can do. He can tear apart churches. I can show you churches. I've been with churches during these times in regards to counseling with them, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see churches that are divided and torn apart, families divided, torn apart, marriages divided, torn apart because of Satan. And this is a prime time for us to watch out. Because Satan would just love he would love to tear this church apart right now. Right when we're on top of things. So be very diligent about Satan and his abilities to tear us apart, because he knows us well. He knows our weak points. He knows where he can get at us, and he'll do it because he hates what's going on here. In closing, in college, I ran cross country and track. I don't look like I did one step right now. But back in those days, I ran long distance, and I did, at the beginning, the coach thought, well, maybe we'll try you at the relays. And so I started out really looking at doing an 880 relay. And if you know anything about relay races, you watch the Olympics or whatever, the most important part of a relay is the exchange of the baton. You can't drop the baton. And I don't believe we have dropped the baton. We have run the race, and we look forward to continue running it, because the baton has been passed on to a person who knows how to run the race. I look forward to worshiping and serving the Lord with you here as Brandon leads our body of believers. Thank you, church, for 46 and a half years. We love you, and we always will. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Love you. Thank you.
Please be seated. Before we, the praise team going to sing again. Yeah, okay, I can do that. Must have been reading my mind. I was going to do this at the end. That's good.
Jim, I'm going to let you know a secret. It's not really a secret. You're our pastor. You're always going to be our pastor. Every person last night, every pastor that was able to be there, that came up and spoke, said the same thing. You're always going to be my pastor. You're my pastor. You're my pastor. You, regardless of titles, regardless of what you do, in our hearts and minds, you will always be our pastor, and we will continue to always, always praise the Lord for that. What I want to ask the deacons to do, will you lay hands on Jim and Nancy, please? And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this awesome and amazing couple that stand before us. We thank you for the love that they have for you, the love that they have for us. Jesus, King Jesus, you are the pastor of pastors. And the only reason that Jim had chooses you every day. And Lord, I know that's not going to stop. In our hearts and our minds always, Lord, you're our pastor here, always in our hearts, on this earth, in this church, Lord. We praise you for him, and we're just thankful. Lord, he's our pastor. Things are just going to look a little bit different. We love you with all of our hearts, and we love Jim and Nancy with all of our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And let's lay hands on our new pastor and his wife. How important this is. Let's pray. Lord, it isn't by accident or consequence that we are laying hands on this couple. We truly believe, Lord, that you have sent them to us. We believe, Lord, you have orchestrated this whole process. And I know what Brandon said. I am grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful, too, that I lay hands on the man who's my pastor now and his loving wife. I pray all blessings upon them. I pray that you will help them through the difficult challenges that they will face. And I pray that, Lord, they will never lose sight of you on the mountaintops that they will experience as well. I know, Lord, that you have, in your wonderful providence, you have way back saw this happening. And we're thankful, Lord, for all of this. I pray for our church that they will be very, very loving and supporting of this couple as they have Nancy and me. And I pray, Lord, every special blessing on them. I pray, Lord, that you'll give Brandon wisdom, knowledge, and I know, Lord, his heart is in the right place. So, Lord, guide and direct this couple always. Bless them and keep them always in the palm of your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you ask the praise team to come up, please?
Love you, man.
I love you, too, with all I got, Jim.
David Lovato is going to join the church.